I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. To mark the day the Church on October the 19th remembers St. Paul of the Cross, I'd like you to join me and my Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, on the Caelian Hill, deep in the heart of a monastery attached to the Basilica of Santi Giovanni and Paolo, a monastery which is especially significant to the Passionists because it houses the very room where St. Paul of the Cross once lived. Join us there to find out more. Breda Ennis has taken me to this very hidden room. It's linked to St. Paul of the Cross, isn't it? This is where he died. We're sitting in the room where he died.
It was his cell. He died here, lived here, and he said his mass is here. So it's actually a double room. There's a tiny little section at the back, and you can see there's a beautiful altar, which he used for saying mass, which previously was in the Vatican and now it's back here. This is the sanctuary, the little hidden sanctuary the Passionist Fathers have in their monastery, where they can come and be in touch with their founder. But as you can see, it's a very Spartan, simple room with the original floors, the cotto tiles and rafters on the ceiling. It's like a shrine, actually. It's a small reliquary room itself and the room behind. And in at the back also there is a chair where St. Paul of the Cross used to sit. So little objects that relate to his daily life when he was leading people in prayer. A rope that he used for flagellation to suffer as much as he could for the Sacred Heart. And above that, you see the little cupboard over there. You can see also his death mask, which was used to make a silver mask for him when they put him under the altar in his little chapel downstairs in the main church. Maybe the most important thing in the room is a very simple cross, which is over on the left-hand side. You can see there on the left-hand side. And this is a cross, a black cross, with a figure which has a sort of, it looks like a cross between Baroque and medieval style. It's neither one or the other, but it's a little bit of both, let's say. But this cross is the one that St. Paul of the Cross himself used to pray in front of. So this is where he was spoken to by God. This is where Christ bent down to speak to him, etc. So you have this wonderful, extraordinary relationship with the cross and as the ultimate road to sanctity. So this saint represents, again, in this very simple, peaceful, quiet room in this city full of crazy activity, as most cities are becoming nowadays. So it's nice to find a little place that's stopped in time, but it's also kept its intimate spirituality. When a person comes in here, you go out with a feeling that it follows you, the spirituality, almost like a perfume.
Following this visit to the rooms of St. Paul of the Cross, Professor Breda Ennis led me down a flight of stairs and into the basilica itself to a chapel housed to the right of the nave, dedicated to St. Paul of the Cross, which to my surprise was in total contrast with the Spartan simplicity I had encountered moments earlier.
Over the altar you can see a wonderful sort of strange kind of painting where you have St. Paul floating in the air. Look at Christ coming off the cross. And as you can see underneath the altar they have his body.
But there's a lot of marble in this chapel, yeah, isn't there?
Lots and lots of strips of marble. It's actually very severe, this chapel. It looks a little like a contained Renaissance chapel. It doesn't seem to be part of the main basilica of St. John and St. Paul. But what it does have, if you see those two pillars each side of the main altar, the altar itself, by the way, is full of precious stones, agates and lapis lazuli, etc. But those two columns were given by the Sultan of Egypt to this church. They're alabaster columns. He gave actually six of them. And the other four are in St. Paul's outside the walls. But you can see the glowing pieces of alabaster. And again, near the altar itself, there are other strips of alabaster. So the whole thing seems to be like opals and pearls. You get the feeling that you've been pulled into an area that's sort of glowing on its own, different from marble, as we know, which has a hard quality to it. Alabaster has a pearly quality, which creates its own light. So you get the feeling when you look at it, and the more you look at it, and when you have lights on near the altar, it tends to soften the whole area of the altar. It takes away from the hard lines of the chapel, which is quite a hard line, the lines are quite severe here. It's a wonderful sense of the...
The alabaster, not uniform, and it changes according to the light.
And in itself, it's, you see in the columns themselves, there's constant movement like clouds. So the very fact that they look like a little bit like clouds softens you inside, so your spirit breaks up when you're looking at them. You get this softness, this beautiful quality. In a way, it was a bit like the relationship that St. Paul of the Cross himself had with Christ, who came off the cross to speak to him. And his whole life was dedicated to adoring the cross.
And a big thank you there to our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.